Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
We would like to sing today, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Oh, that that might come, that what the angels said those 2,000 years ago would be fulfilled today by the Spirit, peace and good tidings on earth.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth.
Reading once again from Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principality and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor of the satisfying of the flesh. And in the first verse of chapter 3, if ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let's give thanks for what's described here. Part of what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, God having so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks once again for thy giving Christ. We give thanks also for the application by the Spirit when our hearts are open to receive the Word, and we can by faith believe in thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. By faith, being justified, by faith, looking to thee for sanctification, and then as thy children, living by faith, as thou hast told us by the Old Testament prophet, and again by Paul, the just shall live by faith. Help us to know, Father, that in ourselves we have nothing and can do nothing. It must be by faith in Christ. And as Paul could say, the life that I now live in the flesh, that he lived by thy faith, Lord Jesus, not only in thee, but of thee. And we pray that each one of us may know the need of that and have the blessing of it, that the church might be revived in that, both the knowledge of being justified and forgiven, the need of it, and then also to be sanctified, to be more and more conformed to thy image, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, also for the other needs that there are, the temporal needs of those in suffering, sickness, injury, hunger, homelessness, persecuted, those in sorrow. We pray, Father, for the broken homes, especially the children in those homes. Pray for the schools that they might again teach the truth and not the lie. We pray, Father, for the churches to be revived. We pray for others to be awakened, and that soon laborers might be called and sent into all the fields which are still white under the harvest, where the laborers are few, and especially that we might have that message of the angel applied, peace on earth, goodwill toward men through Christ. Amen. continuing in this letter to the church at Colossae, those that Paul described wonderfully, their justification, their sanctification, their witness, their blessing, also that he had conflict for them, and those at Laodicea, he says, as many as I have not seen in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches, the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. That's what we must have. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples and all of us to pray to our Father who art in heaven, and want his name to be hallowed, wanting his kingdom to come, and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is his will, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. How far the world is from that today, our nation and others. It is a terrible, terrible state, not only in the nation, but in the home. And the church, sadly, is also much too much divided. As we have thought of the 600 years since the Reformation, some write that we still, in the main, hold to justification by faith, as Luther experienced it and taught it, but we go astray in so many other ways. Part of it, the application of that. Some want to just take justification as everybody in a Christian home having it, baptizing and having that as a witness. Some tend to have only a historic faith, believing that was all true, but not seeing it as an experience in our heart of repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. It's just simply believing that it has happened and that it is there and that we sort of fit in as Christians. If we say, I believe this, but not believing it out of a need, not believing it out of a confession of sinfulness, not believing it asking for forgiveness, coming from lost to saved. We need this in experience. Paul himself had that, and certainly he described this church as having that. In the first chapter we read of God delivering us from the power of darkness, that's where they were, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's where he brought them, translated, changed the place from darkness to his Son, who is the light of the world. And then describing it further, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins through his blood. How quickly we can read over that. How quickly we can forget it, even if we do to some ways remember it in what we call the Lord's Supper. But Christ said we must both eat of his body and drink of his blood. And that is by faith actually going to the cross and saying, he hung there for me. His body was broken for me. His blood was shed for me. And if I don't have that, and if God doesn't account that to me, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm a lost sinner, hellbound. That's the difference. And that needs to be realized. And then we can have, as David said, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to God. A new song. Today we sang, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. 2 weeks ago we sang, tell me the old, old story. Yes, it's old, but it can become new, and it must become new. That's what it did at Colossae. Some people say, well, that was a Gentile city. They came out of darkness because they didn't know the gospel. They were heathen. Paul asked the church at Rome. It was also much the same way, Gentiles. He says, are we better than they? Speaking both to Jew and to Gentile. He says, in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We all died in Adam, no matter who we are, no matter what relationship we have in the church. We all died in Adam. Paul tells the church at Rome that. He tells the church at Corinth that. And it is true of everyone else, as these here were quickened, they were made alive. The 13th verse we read, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, and having forgiven you all trespasses. That tells us of the new birth. That which Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And a little later, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That must take place in experience, actually happening to us. Has it happened to you? Has it taken place? Have you been born again? Born from above by the Spirit of God in your years of sin, taking us from being dead in sin. That's how Paul describes the Ephesians, you being dead in your sin, that they quickened together with Christ. That is described here in different ways. The first chapter, the second chapter here, describes it as, we read it a number of times already, in whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ. Circumcision that brings us from hating to loving, from disobedience to obeying, from unbelief to faith. Faith that God is right. Faith that we need His Son. Faith that we want. And then faith that we have His Son. By the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. There's the difference between just a historic faith and, listen again, a faith of the operation of God. That's far different than just reading something out of the Bible and say, yes, I believe that happened those number of years ago. Or, I was in that way reconciled with God, risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, admitting we did not have faith, particularly not a saving faith, and not a correct faith, a faith of our own making, often faith that is mixed with tradition, a faith that, even as God says by the pen of the psalmist, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. We think God is like us, and then we are like God, and then we think all is well. But Christ told Nicodemus not only that he had to be born again, He told him that men love darkness rather than light. That had to be changed. He had to be brought out of the darkness that he loved and brought to the light that he hated. The next verse, spoken by Christ, everyone that does evil hates the light and hates the truth. Hates what Christ shines on us. That's why they crucified him. From a human standpoint, they crucified him for the sin that he died for, that terrible sin of hatred, that sin of unbelief. And he was paying for it on the cross. Some of them still had it, including Paul. Later, he would be brought to see it, and he could say, and I died. And he became, as he states here further, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All of that is what happened to these people. It had to actually take place. And Paul is describing it as having it wonderfully having taken place for them. He said they were in this experience, buried with him in baptism, rising to newness of life. As we see the question in that third chapter that we read the first verse from, if then you be risen with Christ. New life in Him. Totally new. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, stated, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some people even speak of nature being so different when they come to have a new life in Christ. They see nature glorifying God. They see the beauty of it in a new way. Not everyone speaks of that, but there are some that certainly do. And all things have to become new. But sometimes, as we read here, the warning against that, sometimes we go to the lesser things. The warning was given earlier in the second chapter that we read weeks before. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. With the Galatians, Paul had to say, who hath bewitched you? They were led astray, were being told they had to be circumcised. They were also warned and asked why they kept days and months and years. Seemingly, they were involved in that. And Paul also warns of that here. First of all, in what we eat. He says, after telling them in verse 15, and spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Of himself, the privilege that he had, he said he had more than others, but he counted them but dung that he might win Christ. Here he is showing things also in the right order. Verse 16, let no man judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. In the Old Testament, we have the shadows of all the types. We have the sacrifices, the different types of things in the tabernacle, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. All of those were shadows and types of Christ for Israel through those years. And here, there still are shadows and types of things to come in heaven for these people. He said, these are shadows, these are types. When we read of Abraham, we read that he had here no abiding city, and we may believe that that included all the things of our ordinary life. We sometimes make more of that than of that which is to come. Christ describes it as the seed sown among thorns. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word. That can keep us from God and Christ. It can also take us away from God as children of God. And that's what he says here, let no man judge you in meat or drink. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he stated, chapter 14, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So Paul is saying here, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink. With the church at Rome, he is saying, don't judge others in how they eat or drink. So this is very much a secondary thing. One thinks this, another thinks that. Paul doesn't say, this way is right, that way is wrong. He just says, receive each other in these lesser things. And we certainly should. We should be more firm in the things that honor God. God's character, God's love, God's hatred of sin, God's holy law, God's Son. All of that must be recognized as it is. No variation. But when it comes to food, it can be a different thing. Paul just says one thinks he may eat herbs, another may eat all things, and don't judge. Here he said, let no man judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. Paul also deals with that a little further. In this 14th chapter of Romans, the 5th verse, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And the question that should be asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? In everything, small or great, we need to live by faith in him. And that's what Paul is saying here. First, let no man judge you. Then, in verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward and the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. There are people that think a spirit talks to them. Sometimes people think angels talk to them, and they get carried away. This has been true through the years. This was something that often surfaced when we can go back to the time of the Reformation. One thought the end of the world was going to come. He knew it. He could prophesy of it, which proved to be wrong. And hundreds have done the same thing all through the years, even in recent years, setting dates and knowing these things, knowing what day this would happen or that. But all of that is very secondary. It doesn't make any difference when Christ is going to come. The difference is, are you ready for his coming? It doesn't make any difference when you're going to die. The thing is, are you ready to die now, whether it comes today or many years from now? That doesn't make the difference. Are we doing what God says by the pen of the psalmist? And Paul repeats it as he writes to the church of Hebrews. Today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your heart. And we need to hear it in everything. As Moses wrote, man shall not live by bread alone. And here, seemed like Paul warned against the issue of that. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word, the scripture, gives us the bread of life, which is Christ. And that word itself is our life. We receive life through the word taking us to God, the word taking us to Christ, and God coming to us and giving us Christ as, again, looking at verse 12, risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. That same faith must be looking to God as raising Christ that must raise us, and we need that. We need that faith. We need it, as Paul could say to the church at Rome, using Abraham as example. He says, now it was written, not for his sake alone that was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Do you know the need of that? Do you know the blessing of that?
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423, or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise